Welcome to On the Record. I'm Mick Hassel, and I'm joined today by Karen MacArthur. Karen is a 25-year veteran criminal barrister. She's a connector, a lawyer, a speaker, and an author. And if there are three words to describe Karen, it's creative, confident, and courageous. Welcome on the show, Karen.
Thanks so much, Mick.
And so, Karen, I love these three words, creative, confident, and courageous. And I'd love to hear from you about how any of those or all three of them apply to your background as a criminal barrister and to the trial work you've done and beyond.
So I came up with those three words as I was trying to think about what was necessary for survival in the 21st century. And I thought we didn't need the three R's so much going forward in the 21st century as we needed the three C's, creativity, confidence, and courage. And I thought about the confident leap that I took to leave Bay Street and go out and be a sole practitioner in the realm of criminal defense, which was almost exclusively a male bastion when I took the leap to doing it, which was 1992. I had to steel myself and show a great deal of courage to put one foot forward in that domain and to show even more courage taking on increasingly serious briefs. In a short order, I was doing first-degree murders in the early part of 1993 and did one of the most high-profile first-degree murders in Toronto at the time, the Jeff Bizerts murder. And so not only did I have to show courage, I had to be confident enough that I was man enough, as it were, for the task. And part of niching myself out in undertaking these tough trials was utilizing what I think is inherent in all of us, creativity. And I unearthed the creativity that might have been shelved a bit when I was in law school, because law school teaches us to be linear, but I would approach my legal briefs with sort of eyes wide open and try to find a creative path to acquittal or to that not guilty verdict, which is what I desired and my clients desired. So I worked hard being creative, confident, and courageous to keep my clients out of the box, the penitentiary, et cetera. And so doing that through those years, I honed those three C's, and I'm now raising kids, Mick, and I'm trying to figure out how they can go forward and survive and flourish. And I think those three C's, creativity, confidence, and courage, will also allow them and their peers to have a better future. And so I'm day by day inculcating those values in my kids and those that are around me, and I'm preaching those virtues, really.
That's awesome.
So that we can all survive.
That's great. We're in a world where it seems like everybody is trying to avoid trial, and as a result, trial experience becomes harder and harder to get. And I can only imagine it becomes more and more intimidating with less experience for somebody to walk into a courtroom with confidence. Have you any comment on that issue?
I think you're absolutely right. When I started out trial lawyering, and I was in the Superior Court of Justice and the Ontario Court of Justice sometimes two and three times a day in different forums, because there were so many trials, so many different hearings going on. Now it's increasingly difficult to get to the courtroom door because, of course, courtrooms are expensive to operate, and it is a public good that is delivered and provided for by the government. So to the extent that they've got budgetary constraints, they want to limit access. If you have limited opportunity to craft your skill set, you're not. It's going to be more difficult to develop the three C's. A large part of lawyering and effective trial advocacy, I think, is relational work. The three C's can equally be developed outside of the courtroom context. The relational work that needs to be done creatively, networking with people, courageously undertaking new projects, and connecting the dots between people, ideas, and causes or capital to solve problems, and allow trial advocates to work on those the skill set when they don't have access to the courtroom door. There are many problems within our own little puddle here that need addressing and that can be addressed using the same skill sets. Even though you don't have as much access, you can still work away at the trial advocacy development so that when you do finally crack into the courtroom door and get to address a jury or do a judge alone trial or do a matter in front of a tribunal, you're still a capable advocate because you've been honing these skills.
And in terms of courageousness, I want to touch on that because you mentioned that and I've heard you speak about speaking truth to power. Does that come into play when you speak of courageousness?
Absolutely. So when I started out, I took on one of the most landmark cases at the time, and I was very quickly put on the headlines nightly because I was defending a fellow with a limited IQ who was being repeatedly breached for bail matters. And the reason he was being repeatedly breached is the Toronto Police Service believed that hidden in his private mindset was a predilection for children, or we'd call it, child pornography and child sexual desires. And so they were trying to put him away for that through the rubric of bail breaches, basically effectively giving him a life sentence. So I had to stand up and speak truth to power to the judges that, as far as I was witnessing, were also part of this corralling and putting this young man away, and deal with the police and deal with the Crown attorneys. I was dealing with a modern-day lynching, and I was a very, very young newbie lawyer, so I had to dig deep into my pile of courage and just keep going and speaking truth to power. And ultimately, I succeeded on behalf of that young man when 7 out of 7 matters he was vindicated on, including an acquittal at the Court of Appeal on a matter for which he had basically been excoriated in the Superior Court of Justice and received what I would say was an unfair trial. But it was righted at the Court of Appeal. But I was very young and learned that you got to stand up sometimes on principle and speak truth to power and believe that ultimately when you do that, the right outcome is arrived at.
Very bold. Now, circling back to creativity, I mean, you're a connector, a lawyer, a speaker, and an author, and really you have extensive experience as a criminal barrister, but clearly you're applying that into other areas that are really creativity-driven. And I was just wondering, love to hear more about how your barrister skill set has also been able to transfer into other areas that you're involved with.
So as a barrister, you've got to be able to nuance your pitch, your volume, your emotional attitude towards a whole many, many different players, the judges, the court reporters, the police, your jury members, even your court reporters and your court officers. You've got to be able to get to yes with a whole bunch of different players, right? And you want to do it authentically. Creatively speaking, I've been able to take that skill set and apply it in the sports arena where there are many different players that are involved, whether or not it's referees or tribunal members in hearings, or it's the hockey player or the player agent. So I've taken it into that arena, that sort of skill set. I've also been moving it towards problems that I see on a global scale. I've been involved with climate change matters and hooking up with groups that are actively working to guard against the demise of our oceans. And now I'm going to be working with rainforest issues, sort of global climate change problems, and also taking the skill set and the ability to think creatively and nuanced and relationally with many different groups, taking it into the world of technology, reaching out, because technology can address many of our problems. And so I want to be part of making things happen in that context as well. I went to law school, Mick, I like to say, because I wanted to make a difference. And so I made a difference, I believe, in the micro scale, the one-on-one of an individual up against the state, and now so too, I'm trying to make a difference, but in a more macro and general sense, but taking the same skill set to so the problems can be solved and we can keep calm and change the world, basically. Keep calm and get a better world, get a better future. And I'm hoping in doing that to keep furthering the skill set that I used as a lawyer, but so too to be an example for the kids that I'm raising.
Karen,
they can be participants in their world.
Karen, that's just an awesome attitude and an approach, and I love how you're transferring these skills into bigger picture issues, and just wanted to say thank you very much for joining us on The Record, and really appreciate your insights and would love to have you back in the near future.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. I want to say one thing and then we'll jump off. My attitude with my trials and that three C's was nothing is impossible. There's always a solution, and I take that with me each and every day, both in my trial work and my outside of the courtroom work as I solve problems.
Thanks so much,
Karen. Thank you so much, Mick.